Well, now, it is indeed a pleasure to once again be invited back into your vibrational level. And we would like to express our greetings to each of you, and as well to express our gratitude for you once again offering us this opportunity to enter into and to interact with each of you in your reality, in your vibrational level. Now, before we begin, we would suggest that there exists for each of you the possibility to be involved in what I like to refer to as a silent communication or a telepathic interaction and exchange of information with other entities that would be with us on this afternoon, or indeed that portion that you like to refer to as your higher self. And you will find, as a result of the energy that you have created in this space on this afternoon, that it's quite easy for you to alter your consciousness and to enter into what you might term as a meditative state, and in that altered state of consciousness participate in that silent communication, in that telepathic interaction and exchange of information. And once again, the information that you receive in that altered state of consciousness is much more pertinent to your individual needs and desires than is this information that we attempt to express to you through this rather limited use of a vocabulary. So we would encourage you to take advantage of that opportunity and to alter your consciousness, enter into that meditative state, and participate in that telecommunication that's possible for each of you to experience. Now, we have suggested that you exist in an illusionary reality in your vibrational level, in which you have put in place what we refer to as an electromagnetic type of energy that limits your capacity to understand not only who and what you truly are, but limit your capacity to understand that you create your reality. It's not a case of you creating some parts of your reality for which you're willing to accept the responsibility, but rather you create it all. You are involved in this creation of this illusionary reality that you experience in your awakened consciousness state. And you, at some level of your consciousness, agree to participate in the creation process. When we suggest that it's illusionary, that's not to suggest that it's insignificant. For many times, through the utilization of your vocabulary, something like illusionary can mean that it's insignificant, that it's not important, and it's not that way at all. But nonetheless, it's an illusionary reality. It's a very difficult one for you to sustain, and it takes a tremendous amount of energy for you to sustain it in your awakened consciousness state. But nonetheless, you create it all. You, as individuals and as a human consciousness, create this vibrational level. And while it's possible for you to hold the concept that your consciousness exists throughout your entire physical being, in each and every cell of your entire being, it becomes more difficult for you to grasp a concept when we suggest that that consciousness exists within each and every atom of your entire universe. You are all that is. So you create this reality through your beliefs and belief systems, what it is that you desire, what it is that you truly desire to bring into your reality. And in your awakened consciousness state, it many times becomes difficult for you to accept that this reality that you are experiencing is something that you desire, particularly if it's what you refer to as a less than desirable reality. If you're experiencing some type of illness, for example, it's very difficult for you to accept that you've chose that. That you chose to experience that. That you hold beliefs and belief systems that are being validated. It becomes very difficult because in your awakened consciousness state, you judge as to whether an experience or a feeling or an emotion that you're experiencing is good or bad, right or wrong, desirable or less than desirable, but from the level at which you create this reality, there is no such judgment. The spark of consciousness that you are, the oneness that exists within your vibrational level, creates what it is that you desire without judgment as to whether it's right or wrong, and rejoices in that creation process. Gives to you, validates your belief systems without judging, without determining whether or not that's something you should or should not experience. And so it's important to understand what it is that you desire. It's important to understand that what you hold in your consciousness, in your conscious thoughts, influences your reality, your thoughts and feelings. Your thoughts and feelings influence your choices and decisions. And your choices and decisions are influenced by your beliefs and belief systems, your attitude. What do you believe? Now, many of the beliefs that you hold, you put in place in your altered states of consciousness, and it becomes very difficult for you to understand that in your altered state of consciousness, in what we would refer to as your between incarnational states, you put in place various beliefs and belief systems for the possibility of experiencing certain scenarios in a particular incarnational period, in a particular lifetime. And not only do you put in place those beliefs and belief systems, but the individuals that you agree to participate in with that within that lifetime also understand and hold and agree to participate in the correction of those beliefs and belief systems for the possibility of you experiencing the intense emotions of range of emotions and feelings that are associated with those realities that you're creating when you believe you're not in control. So what do you believe? What do you believe becomes very, very important. And it can be very difficult for you to understand what those beliefs and belief systems are. But it's not difficult for you to understand that the reality that you're experiencing is also influenced by your thoughts and feelings. We suggested that in the year of 2012, that you would alter the energy which you utilize to create this vibrational level. You would alter it in a subtle manner, but nonetheless, it would give you the opportunity to create consciously in a manner that it was very difficult for you to achieve in your so-called past. And we say so-called past because it's important for you to understand as well that time and space are illusionary. They don't really exist other than in your awakened consciousness state. But nonetheless, in your so-called past, you had a very difficult time consciously influencing and creating your reality. It was not impossible, but it was much more difficult than it is in this new age and new energy. Now, you as a human consciousness agreed to facilitate this alteration of your energy. It wasn't like someone forced it upon you. It wasn't like there was some entity out there that said, oh, well, we're going to change the way that they have the capacity to create the reality. You, as a human consciousness, chose to make that change. And consequently, as a result of that change, what you hold in your consciousness has a greater influence on your reality than it had in your so-called past. And so it's important to understand that your thoughts and feelings are having an effect on the reality that you experience. Now, that doesn't suggest that it's only the positive thoughts and feelings, what you term to be positive thoughts and feelings, are affecting your reality. If you continuously hold fears, for example, of experiencing a reality, you are beginning to create the reality. You are beginning to influence the belief and belief system, many times contained within your DNA. And as a result of that continuous alteration of your beliefs and belief systems, you actually alter the energy that surrounds the DNA. And you take a particular belief or belief system and you alter it from a probability into a possibility, or conversely, from a possibility into a probability. And then you can experience it. And then you can have it. And then that spark of consciousness that you are rejoices in the creation process. So it's important for you to understand that what you hold in your consciousness influences your reality. Whether that thought be positive or negative is immaterial. Once again, the spark of consciousness that creates your reality, that spark of consciousness that you are, does not judge whether it's right or wrong, but rejoices in the creation process and gives to you that which you desire. So it's important as well to understand what it is that you desire. You see, when you hold in your conscious thought something that you desire, and you perpetuate that thought, then you enhance the possibilities of creating that reality. And so understanding what you desire becomes very important. You need to have a firm grip, if you wish, on what it is that you desire to experience in this reality. And you hold that thought in your consciousness state. And when you begin to hold that thought, then another method that you utilize in creating your reality is your imagination. If there's something that you desire to experience, then the more that you can imagine it, the more detailed your imagination, the greater your chances and possibilities of creating that reality. So imagination becomes very, very important. And so you have this desire and then the imagination of what it would be like to create it. Then comes expectation. And there is where many of individuals fall short in this creation process. The expectation. Do you really believe that it's possible for you to create your reality? Or do you hold the belief or belief system that there is some entity out there that's influencing your reality over which you have no control? Or do you believe that you have guides and angels that you must put in place and must agree with you and would assist you in creating that reality? You can have all that. We're not suggesting that that's wrong. Absolutely not. We're not suggesting that any of the realities that you create are wrong. They're a validation of your beliefs and belief systems. And if you choose to believe you're not in control, you can have that too. You can create all types of realities that prove to you in your conscious state that you're not in control. But the key to that statement is you can create all types of realities to validate that you're not in control. There's not some other entity creating it. Your guides and angels can assist you if that's what you choose. What you choose to experience, it's your choice. You're not put in this vibrational level because you need to go through some type of a growth system or experience some type of spirituality. You can have that if you desire, but it's important to understand if you desire to have that experience, you choose. It's your choice. And being your choice, the only limitation to your creation process is your imagination. So if you can imagine that you have this entity existing outside of your vibrational level that's responsible for all of the creation, and you're simply a pawn that's being manipulated within that creation process, you can have that. It's not right or wrong. Not only is it not right or wrong, but you will have all types of experience to validate what it is that you believe. The reality you experience is a reflection of the belief you hold, without exception. And so you can have whatever it is that you desire. And you can also choose to be in control. You can also choose to understand that it's an illusion. And as an illusion, you have the capacity to alter it. The only limitation to your creation process is your imagination. And so imagination becomes very important in your creation process. Imagine what it is that you desire. And the more detailed that you can make that imagination, the better. The more likely that you are to bring into your reality everything that you desire. For example, let's use a scenario where you desire to experience some type of automobile. Oh, I need an automobile. But you don't have any imagination to what it is that you really desire. You just put that out there, an automobile, with no imagination. And so, within a very short period of time, this automobile shows up that's available to you, that has all kinds of mechanical problems, that's very outside of what it is that you would have really desired to experience because you didn't utilize your imagination. So the more imagination and the more detailed you can make it, the better the possibility of experiencing that and bringing it into your reality for your experience. So that automobile that you desire, use your imagination of what it is, the entire range of possibilities that are there. And then comes expectation. You see, you can desire all you want, and you can imagine all you want, but if you hold that belief that you're not in control, if you hold the belief that you need to have outside influence to create your reality, if you hold the belief that perhaps you're not worthy of experiencing that reality, or if you hold the belief that somehow to be involved in a situation where creating abundance is some type of a negative experience, then you will have difficulty in creating the reality. If you don't have the expectation, if you believe you're not worthy, and usually it's this belief that you can't do it. I can't influence my reality that extent. I can't influence others. You're not influencing others. You're interacting with others who agree to participate, to validate your beliefs and belief systems, to assist in bringing into your reality that which you desire. And they don't do that just because they're trying to be really nice to you. They do that because it allows them to be involved in an experience for them to experience the intense range of emotions and feelings that are involved in that interaction. And so it's a mutual agreement for a mutual benefit. So expectation becomes very important. Many don't believe that they're worthy. Many can't have that expectation, particularly when it becomes something that you perceive as being very difficult to achieve. For some, that could be abundance. Some individuals have a very difficult time in creating abundance, while you will notice that others, it's not a problem at all. It's simply there. When they need the financing, when they need that abundance, whatever it is they need, it's there. For others, it might be relationships, for example, have difficulty creating relationships and being involved in and sustaining relationships. No problem with the abundance part, but difficulty with the relationships. For others, it can be exactly the opposite. What do you believe? What do you believe that is possible for you to experience, and what are your expectations? One of the biggest difficulties in expectations is that many individuals don't experience in your awakened consciousness state a sense of self-love. Many individuals will suggest to you that they experience self-love, but we would suggest that it's quite rare in your so-called interactions with others in your awakened consciousness state. It's not that you're not capable of understanding self-love, because the reality that you create is from a position, from that spark of consciousness that you are, that is absolute unconditional love. And so you have that capacity, but you choose to hide from it. You choose to not bring it into your reality. You choose to not experience it, because it makes it seem more like you're not in control. It makes it seem more like there are other entities that are influencing your reality and you have no control over that. You can have it if you want, once again. We're not suggesting that it's right or wrong, but it's your choice. It's always your choice. And so self-love becomes very important. But before you can experience self-love, you have to like who you are. If you don't like who you are in your awakened consciousness state, self-love becomes very difficult. Like who you are. We generally hesitate to give methods or techniques. Because, you see, a method or technique is not nearly as important as your belief in the method or technique. We like to use the analogy that it's like someone's going on a journey. And so you are going on this journey across a body of water, and you can't see what's on the other side because there's a bank of fog that you have to pass through. So you don't know how long the journey is. You don't know how difficult it's going to be. So some individuals come down to a shoreline, and lined up along that shore are a multitude of vessels. Many individuals run up and down the shore, checking out each vessel, checking out whether or not it's seaworthy, checking out the crew, checking out whether or not it has enough provisions for you to be on a sustained journey that seemingly is unknown to you. And yet there are other individuals who come down to the shoreline and choose the first vessel they come upon because they believe that it will accomplish what they desire to experience. The irony of it is that you could walk across that water if you so desire. And so you see, like it is choosing the vessel is not nearly as important as what you believe in the capacities of that vessel. So it is that choosing the method or technique that you utilize to influence your reality is not nearly as important as your belief in that method or that technique. And so when we suggest to you various techniques, we are always hesitant because it's not really important if you don't believe, if you don't have that belief that it can assist you. So we would suggest a technique to assist you in establishing character, to enhance the capacity to like who you are. We would suggest that you write down a list of various principles that you would apply throughout your interactions and your daily commitments with other individuals. And when the opportunity arises, you apply the principle. Now, it's important that these principles are principles that you desire to enhance your character, not principles that you put in place because you want to influence some other individual or to meet their expectations. Your principles for what it is that you desire to be, for the character that you desire to be. And so you put in place the principles. And it's also important that you understand what a principle applies and what it means to you. For example, what does the principle of integrity mean to you, if that's one of the principles that you choose? For some, integrity can mean when you're confronted with a situation and you think it over and decide, well, I need to do this because that's the right thing to do, and so you act with integrity. We would suggest that true integrity is when you do the right thing spontaneously without having to think it over. But it's important, once again, that you utilize within your own consciousness what those principles mean that you're putting in place. And then when the opportunity arises, you apply the principles. And as you apply the principles, you begin to strengthen your character. Now, it's important as well to understand that there will be times that you fail to apply your principles. And it's rather ironic that in your awakened consciousness state, many have the tendency to dwell on the negative aspects of their reality creation. So let's say that you apply your principles 9 times out of 10, and then you miss applying your principle on one instance. Many individuals dwell on the miss. You achieve 90% in any other capacity in your so-called judgment of interactions. You would consider 90% to be very, very successful. And yet you have a tendency to dwell on the one time that you failed. Dwell on the positive, not the negative. It will assist you in creating this reality. It will assist you in keeping your mind in that positive state. Dwell on the positive, not the negative. And so you put in place these principles, and as you apply them, you begin to strengthen your character. And when you begin to strengthen your character, you begin to like who you are. And ironically, when you begin to like who you are more, you will realize that other individuals begin to like who you are as well. You'll find that individuals begin talking to you, complete strangers begin talking to you when you're standing on the street corner, for example, because you radiate an energy that you like who you are. And when you like who you are, then you begin to develop the capacity to love yourself consciously. For many, the word love simply seems to express that you're experiencing a feeling. And it is so much more than that. When you first enter into a loving relationship, certainly the feelings are there. But to sustain that love, to be involved in a continuous loving situation, it requires an effort. It requires that you do certain things that allow the other individual to experience various feelings such as joy, to feel like they are deserving, to feel like they are worthy. Allow the others to experience feelings of commitment, of trust, of knowing, of the ability to be who they are without fear of judgment. You do certain things that allow the other to experience those particular emotions and feelings, and there are many more. What do? You give. You give, and you give unconditionally. You see, when you give a gift that's a supposed expression of love, it must be unconditional. If you put a condition on that gift, then it's no longer a gift of love, it's a contract. Now, you have contracts that go on between individuals all the time in loving relationships. There's nothing wrong with that. It allows you to establish boundaries. It allows you to establish what you can and can't do. It gives each an understanding of how far they can go in a certain situation. Those are gifts that are given with conditions, and they are contracts. For example, you may choose to finance your child through some type of advanced education. And you put in place the finances that are necessary for that advanced education. But then you also put in place a rule, a condition, that if they don't live up to certain standards in terms of their achievements, then that financing will be stopped. You now have a contract. It may be between two individuals who are involved in a loving relationship, but nonetheless, when you put in that condition, you form a contract, and it leaves the possibility that that gift can be taken away. And so it is no longer an unconditional gift that allows the other to experience that joy, that allows the other to experience that commitment, that feeling of belonging, that feeling of trust. When you put on a condition, you take away the capacity to experience those feelings and emotions. So when you give a gift of love, it must be unconditional. When you're expressing love, it's important that you have a commitment, and that commitment as well is unconditional. When you make a conditional commitment, then again, the other is always worried if they don't live up to the conditions, then the love will be taken away. It must be unconditional. You allow the other to experience trust. And it's important to understand what trust is. So many people would suggest, well, yeah, I trust someone. When you trust someone, there are certain elements that must be in place for it to be a trusting situation. First of all, you must have something to lose. If you don't have nothing to lose, it's not a trusting situation. And the loss must be greater than the gain. For example, if you were to go and buy a lottery ticket and you pay one of your dollars in order to achieve that lottery ticket and you trust that you're going to win $100 million or $100,000, whichever it is, then the gain is much greater than the potential loss. And it must be the other way around. The potential loss must be greater than the potential gain. When it's the other reversed, so that the potential gain is greater than the potential loss, you are now in a gambling situation. You are not in a trusting situation. And so the potential loss must be greater than the potential gain. The other thing, when you're involved in a trusting situation or a trusting scenario, you must solicit the other person's trust. You can't suggest to someone some incident and then say, oh, by the way, I trust you to not advance this information. It's too late. You need to solicit that trust before you enter into the trusting situation. And so it's important to understand what these particular elements that are involved in love really mean. You do things to allow another individual to experience joy, to experience a sense of belonging, of knowing, of commitment, of trust, of allowing themselves to be who they are without fear of intimidation or ridicule. It's important. When you develop that capacity, and you have that capacity to love in such a manner, the only difference between expressing that love to another and attaining self-love is the direction in which you express the gifts, express the understanding, express the knowing, express the allowing of another to be who they are. You simply turn that inwards to yourself, and you give to yourself those unconditional gifts of love. You allow yourself to be open within yourself as to who you truly are. And you accept it. And if you don't like who you are, you change it. If you don't like who you are, it's within your capacity to alter it. If you don't like the things you do, don't do it. Change it. Now, for many, that becomes very difficult because, you see, it could be connected to your particular source of income, for example, and you believe that abundance, income, some type of employment can be difficult to achieve. You believe. You make the choice. You make the choice to be involved in the situation because you believe. You've been taught, if you wish, throughout your existence in this particular incarnational period, in a family situation that you chose to be involved in, not something that was forced upon you randomly, but you chose to be involved in for the opportunity to experience the interactions that are occurring within that family relationship. So you choose to come into a family where the so-called parents, the so-called adults, if you wish, are going to tell you that, for example, it's difficult for you to obtain employment. It's difficult for you to achieve abundance. Or you may even be given the thought process that somehow achieving abundance is evil. Money is the root of all evil. If you believe that, then it becomes difficult for you to step outside of that belief system and to accept that abundance is as easily for you to correct as any type of other element that exists within your creational being. What do you believe? It seems like such a simple statement, but it's the absolute key to understanding how it is that you created this reality. Now, we talked to you about techniques. Many individuals continuously search for the answers to the questions of the subjects that we've spoken about this afternoon. And they continue to go to different seminars. They continue to go to different so-called gurus, if you wish, people who seemingly know the answers, looking for a solution. We would suggest that you will not find it written in a book. It cannot be explained. When you attend the seminars, they can offer you an opportunity to have some type of a technique or belief that you can believe in that can assist you, but they cannot give you the answers. The answers you seek are with inside, and it's an experience as much as it is some type of a written or communicated verbally answer. It's just not possible. It's a feeling. It's a feeling that when you experience it, it's like a light comes on in your awakened consciousness state, and it's, oh yeah, I can do that. And so while you continuously search for these answers through various seminars, or you search through various tapes for the answers, or you buy books for the answers, we would suggest that the answers that you seek are within inside each of you. Go within inside. Learn to alter your consciousness while maintaining your awareness. Learn to meditate, and in that meditative state, have the capacity to have that experience, that understanding that this is an illusion, that understanding that you are all that is, that understanding that you create your reality. And when you can understand that, and when you can hold that as a belief, then you begin to have the expectation that what it is you desire and imagine can come into your reality. It gives you that capacity to like who you are. It gives you that capacity to love yourself consciously. And when you love yourself consciously, it's much easier for you to love someone else. You can't give to someone something that you don't understand. You can't give someone something that you don't have yourself. And so by going with inside and connecting with that spark of consciousness that you are, you get that awareness. You get that understanding. Once again, you get that expectation. You begin to know who and what you truly are. If you can know who and what you truly are, then you begin as well to know why you exist in this vibrational level. And when you grasp that understanding, then the illusion becomes insignificant. It's not really that important anymore. You begin to understand that time and space don't really exist. You begin to understand that you can alter things that you thought were not possible for you to alter in your so-called past. What do you believe? The only limitation to your creation process is your imagination, and the only limitation are your beliefs and belief systems. What do you believe? The reality you create is a reflection of the belief you hold. It is so simple that it's disarming. It is so simple that it defies logic. And yet, of all the things that you can experience in this reality, the one thing that you cannot escape is the reality you experience is a reflection of the belief you hold. You create your reality, not just some of your reality, entirely in conjunction with the other entities that exist within this vibrational level. You are the God you search for. There is not one entity existing in this vibrational level or in any other vibrational level throughout all of creation who is any more or any less than what each of you are. You are the God you search for. And you cannot fail to come to that understanding. At some point in your consciousness, you will eliminate this so-called electromagnetic energy that you put in place. When you choose to leave this vibrational level, when you choose to leave, it's not that you have to become more advanced, you have to become more enlightened. Unless you want to have that experience, you can have it, but it's not necessary. It's your choice. It's your choice to be here. It's your choice to stay here, and it will be your choice to leave here. The reality you create is a reflection of the belief you hold. You create your reality. You are the God you search for, and you cannot fail to come to that understanding. This is a no-fail activity that you're involved in. Now, once again, it has been a very enjoyable interaction with each of you. And we would like to remind you that we are not separated by time or space, but rather by a vibrational level. And should you choose to interact with us, you have but to express the intent. And we would welcome that opportunity to interact and to share with each of you. And so until the next time that we have this opportunity, we would bid each of you farewell with love and with peace.